have a radio interview with Sam Russell. Thank you.
The vacationing Mills. This is the last day of Mills' vacation. He'll be back tomorrow in the time slot from noon to 3, and it's my pleasure to be here with you for these 3 hours, and very special guest coming up, Bill Scheinman out front. He is the gentleman who will answer your calls. He's producing today. Thank you very much, Bill Scheinman, and we'll be right back with Commander Hatton. And Dick gives me very great pleasure to introduce Commander Hatton. Greetings and welcome, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me again.
And thank you very much for your time and efforts to be here. Let me first ask, Commander, do you, in fact, speak for the holy white light of the one source creator for the highest and best good of all mankind?
Yes, absolutely. I come only in service unto God.
One moment, please. We're having a bit of a telephone difficulty here. I'm sorry, we may have missed that, Commander. Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, I come in the holy light of God. I come in service to God. I come in command of the hosts, returning to your place with what you refer to as the second coming of the Christ being.
Thank you. We're still having a telephone difficulty. Let me try...
Are you not hearing me?
Okay, let us try this again. Would you please repeat that again? I'm sorry to do this, but every once in a while the telephones have a problem here, and they do a ring through.
Yes, I come in the holy light of God, of divine source. I come in command of the hosts, which are sent, returning, if you will, pre-runners, but in the company of the Christ energy that is returning to your place at this time.
Thank you. Let's try another bank of phones.
I'm sorry. You're going to have incredible trouble with the phones today. There are areas, again, around your nation where your entire long-distance and emergency systems are cut off. Mm. I'm trying also to patch through.
Okay, thank you. This did correct it. I'm using a different bank of phones now, so I think this will solve our problem at least momentarily. Would you... you've been on the station before, and this has been in the evening generally. This is the first daytime audience that has had the opportunity to hear you, Commander. Would you please give your actual position right now? Where are you located?
Well, once again, we have a little bit of a problem because I move around a lot. You can talk about the mothership or the one... on which actually the Christ energy rides, the big silver cloud. We like to chuckle about it. I also have a command ship, which is also called the Phoenix, for ease of identification. Then, of course, from that, we have smaller command ships and of course, shuttle craft. And right now, I'm located above the China Lake area, once again at Ridgecrest, California, because this is where many, many things are going on that affect you right now.
Yes, there is much happening, as we understand it. Does the bombardment continue of the fault line?
Yes, absolutely. You're not hearing about it as much because you have distractors going on. And things will begin to, especially if you will read what we are writing regularly now in the Liberator, you'll begin to... be able to sort the players who are responsible, who are in control, and who are basically gambling your nation away. It's already, I would assume, for all practical purposes, unless you can awaken the masses of people, is just all but done. And
I've been reading that, and we want to definitely let people know how they can obtain the Liberator for themselves, and there is an 800 number for that, which we will be giving regularly. In fact, why don't we do that right now, and let us just tell you that the number for the Liberator to get the information that is available to you is 1-800-800-5565. That's 1-800-800-5565. 5565, and we'll be giving that number out regularly throughout the period of time that the commander is with us. Commander, one of the key points of concern, I think, is highlighted, I believe, by an article in this morning's Salt Lake Tribune, and if folks wanted to take a look at that, it's right here, and I'd like to just read very briefly a sentence that's in this. This has to do with the shuttle that is orbiting the Earth right now.
Yes.
And in this article, it indicates that they're going to be sending out a long tether, and they're going to be trying to generate electricity. And what it says here is that if everything goes well, this is tomorrow, the tethered ship will become a giant electric generator with positive polarity at the satellite and negative at the shuttle end. And then it goes on to say, electron guns mounted in the shuttle cargo bay will fire the flowing current back into the ionosphere to complete the circuit. Could you provide some amplification for us on this and tell us what's really going on?
Yes, I can. And for you who might be new to my presence, you'll just have to bear with me, and then we'll see if we can identify a little bit later if it doesn't come clear who I am. I'm not here playing games, and please, because America West publishes books with writings that we bring from this craft, actually, I am not George Green. We are attributed to being one of George Green's aliases. I wouldn't do that to my best friend, to put anyone into this kind of responsible position. Now, as to your shuttle, that is a total lie. What you have sent out as a satellite and is having trouble working because you have cosmospheres controlled by the Russians that can control and destroy anything that you can put into space, and usually does. They are not completely disabling this particular little toy that you put out there. In fact, I know that you envision something similar to Ben Franklin out with his key tied to a kite string,
yes, that's what's also
creating electricity.
Also alluded to here in the article, yes.
Well, you have a situation where the technology is fully developed. The Russians use it all the time. You are in a state of total hostage to blackmail by the Yeltsin group of Soviets. Now, I'm not going to go into that long political harangue. I will say that what has been launched from the United States aboard that shuttle is a sensing device that senses helium, which is released from any atomic explosion. And literally, by being able to discuss this right now, ensures that probably you will be able to survive a little bit longer without nuclear holocaust. Because the device itself, they've been trying to get up now since 1981. It is a sensing device to sense instantly the rays that are given forth from an atomic explosion. You have not been allowed to keep your spy satellites in the air long enough to map the retaliatory bases in Soviet Russia that would immediately bombard you. And the point is, and America's real last resort effort to maintain any kind of sovereignty at all, which it won't. Your leaders, your presidents, the last five of them, have literally sold your nation away. And when the Soviets said, we will take you, and we wouldn't even have to fire a shot, they meant it. When Khrushchev said, we will bury you, he meant it, and they have. And you support it. Not only do you support it, you literally fund their taking of your nation. This is a sensing device. It would be to register immediately location and strike capacity or capability or detonation is the word I'm searching for in your English. Detonation point, totally isolated of atomic nuclear bomb drop. And that would be the only way to sense whether or not you have hit a target.
I see. So it really is more for that purpose rather than for, as they state here, the generation of electricity.
Oh, absolutely. The pulse systems and creation of energy from photons is completely technologically perfected.
Now, it does indicate, the indication here of the electronic gun firing back into the ionosphere does harken back to earlier concerns voiced about the, quote, photon belt and the effect of the photon belt, namely the ignition of the radiation belt, I think the Van Allen radiation belt, and what that might do.
Yes.
It has nothing at all to do with that sort of a phenomenon that might occur.
Yes, it does.
Oh, it does.
Yes, it does. You have two sets of a chain reaction type of apparatus here. One is the sensing device, which would also trigger atomic energy or a thrust, a total large, very humongous charge of electricity, which would act as a napalm bomb on, say, crude oil or diesel fuel. This is why they were dropping napalm, for instance, in Iraq. That's the only way that you can ignite crude oil. You have to have massive heat and massive power. And the intent would be to have your sensor there to shoot these pulse beams of massive intensity to ignite that Van Allen belt. And then the perception is, and from the cosmospheres, this is pretty accurate. You would put them, pretty much disable them. You would not disable them. It would just mess up it would create a shield through which the cosmospheres would not have accurate targeting capability.
So they would be at least temporarily disabled.
Yes, and until you can disable the ability of those cosmospheres, because there are enough of them out there now, they've got everything pinpointed right to your MX missiles that are traveling around on trains. So they can, at this point, disable anything that you can either put into suborbit or into low orbit or anything on the surface. So to act, you're going to have to act during a period of time that you can render them incapable of response.
So what is likely to take place during this period of the disablement of the cosmospheres?
I would suggest that the United States would probably have a first strike against Russia. And, of course, that means that they would retaliate. The hope would be, you see, that they have such a dependency now on the cosmospheres that they would not be able to get the news of the launch before your missiles could reach them. You have to understand that there is grid work laid out across your world, and you have submarines of both kinds, both enemy and your own. And as a matter of fact, Russia puts out a submarine every 33 days that are hydrogen-powered. Some of them now are beginning to be jointly photon-powered, and they are for no purpose except the launching of first-strike-capable weapon.
That's amazing.
And these, you've got them off your shore. You've got some missile sites off your shore that your government even knew when they installed them. So it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad what you ones don't know. Maybe ones can say, well, maybe it's better not to know what hit you. No, it isn't better to not know. There is no bliss in ignorance. There is capability and change in knowing.
Now, one of the other effects that might take place then would be the blinding light. Would that be correct?
Yes. If they can ignite the Van Allen belt, then is when you get the blinding light that is going to be so intense that it will be damaging. As you enter into a null time, and they can also reproduce that kind of light, unless you looked at the burst, you probably would only have temporary damage. And then there is a buildup of radiation if you're exposed to it for a long time. But where the goggles that get laughed about all the time come into play would be with the chain reaction caused from ignition of that Van Allen belt.
Okay, Commander, we must take a break right here, and we will be right back with Commander Hatton right after these commercial messages. Commander Hatton is with us. We're very pleased again to have you here. And let us go to the phone. I would like to speak with you at length myself, but I would also like to have the listeners have maximum time with you. And so let us go first to the phones. And Heather, you're on K-Talk with Commander Hatton.
Yes, blessings.
Thank you.
Commander Hatton.
Thank you.
What I would like to know is, what do they eat on your planet? I know you're in spirit form, but when you have your body, physical body, and I'm sure they, from your planet they do have physical bodies.
Well, there are many beings from many of the planets that are in the Pleiades system that I know that you're referring to.
Yes.
And basically, we are very, very much like you. Our atmosphere is made up very similar to your own. And the animals and plant life came from there. So basically, with the higher technology, we can synthesize food. On the other hand, for feasting and the social aspect of survival and living, the beings are very much like you.
I see. So you would have a choice of a diet about like we do,
yes.
If you're vegetarian, or if you wanted to eat meat, you could, and so on and so forth.
Yes, but because of the law of balance, which I won't go into greatly here,
okay.
We do not usually eat meat as such. But there is plenty of plant protein, mm-hmm. and the flavors, though, would be almost identical to your own.
Oh, great. And one more question, if I may.
Yes.
Commander, would you please tell me one of your favorite jokes?
I don't think you're going to like it.
Well, tell me it anyway. I have a pretty wide imagination.
Well, it's very blunt, and it's only two words.
Right.
Planet Earth.
Planet Earth. I like it. And I see the humor in that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commander Hatton, and I really appreciate you deeply.
Thank you very much.
Yes, bye-bye.
All right, thank you very much. And on the Weaver-Davis line, we have, who do we have, please? Hello? Evidently no one. And here we have Judy. Judy, you're on K-Talk with Commander Hatton.
Hello,
Judy.
Commander. I have been observing for some time them putting missiles in the west side of the Salt Lake Valley and also installing a beam on top of the mountain. Can you tell me what that beam is?
Yes, I can. It's part of the pulse grid system that was finished entirely encapsulating your planet, and it was activated on January 1 of this year.
Now, this is located where, Judy?
This is on the west side of the valley, on the mountain overlooking Magna. And there's a ring of green lights there with a red blinking light in the middle. They seem to have been refining this light, this beam. And I wondered what the use of it was going to be exactly.
Well, it's radio, and it's for receiving and pulsing photon laser systems. Probably you will have a complex of radio receivers and transmitters and some other things so that the public would not be totally surprised. However, you will find that most of these towers do not bear the lights that you're referring to, but serve basically the same purpose. any time that you have a center where you are placing intercontinental ballistic missiles or space-capable rocketry, you're going to have those particular types of towers. In the grid system itself, you will find that most sprang up overnight in early January or latter December, and basically out here in the West, they said that this was part of a new tracking system to see if there was anybody out there, you know, radio efforts again to contact ETs. They tell on themselves by their idiotic portrayals of scenarios to you, the people. And I find that most insulting, and yet it's very discouraging to note that most of you swallow it as if it were whole cloth. But this is what you have, a piece of the grid system. You're going to find those towers within 50 miles in every direction. Approximately 50 miles. It can go up to 150 depending on the terrain, but you're going to find them somewhere located within 50 miles of each other.
Are these manned facilities?
No, they don't need persons. Huh. Some of the... They're very much like what you pilots would have called Omni beacons. They're different, but that's the nearest thing that I can tell you as a pilot to look for.
And these are continually putting out a signal of some kind, is that?
Oh, yes.
So they're
putting out a signal. They're pretty benign. You're not going to notice anything, for instance, if you flew through that signal. Probably you might get a little static on the radio or something of that sort. It's not damaging. But this grounds, if you will, the outer space. These are receivers, and this in the, these well in the West and over these underground facilities, you will always find at the lowest depth in any one of those facilities giant receivers and resonators, so that you can amplify feedback, amplify those pulse systems, those pulse lasers.
And what is the purpose of the grid system itself, then?
Total control. Total control. You can control an entire city. Mental control through pulsing a particular frequency.
So they would then pulse out certain frequencies to produce certain desired effects among the population.
Yes. And you see, throughout the period of time, for instance, your young men in Fort Hood, Texas, right this very minute, some have already been shipped out that you won't know about. You'll just suddenly realize there aren't 11,000 troops in Saudi Arabia, and over the days it climbed to 21,000, and now you're going to send another 2,500. Forget it. You are getting rid of your troops here, so that you have no national army remaining in the United States that can stand against the United Nations forces that will be coming in for control.
So part of the supposed problem with Hussein then is a kind of a ruse in order to depopulate the country of the military forces.
Yes. Yes, because you see, there's such brainwashing, and that gets back to the original point of the grid. Along with these injections go chips, programmed just like computer chips.
Yes.
This is the way to get everyone marked. This was a massive, massive study toward the end of the Korean War and the Vietnam War. This is the way the soldiers were put into mayhem and brain control. And you add a little bit of drug to this already depressed state of the mind, and you can get your troops to do anything, whatever you have programmed them to receive.
Is this what happened to our troops in Vietnam?
Yes, exactly. This was the major thrust in Vietnam to test the system.
And, of course, we saw another major test, I'm sure. Maybe it wasn't even a test. Maybe it was beyond that in the Persian Gulf War.
Oh, it was. It had gone beyond testing. And there was a young man that now is with me. As a matter of fact, I picked he and several of his comrades up. It was set up that all information, for instance, like the Liberator, was disallowed, censored out. But a few got that information early on and started communications with this group. And those ones were deliberately taken out by friendly fire. And the one, Tally, has been featured on your television, 60 Minutes, etc. That was a setup to get rid of the dissenters. The bomb that hit the barracks in Saudi Arabia was a directly planned hit because they had been tucking away the dissenters and the ones who couldn't wait to get home to tell what was really going on. And so they just took them out. And you will never know whether there were 5,000 in there, 128, as they say, 28, as they say. You never will get an answer. For every man killed, you see, that same letter of sorrow can go to 200 people, and they have no way of knowing. And they allowed no papers, no interviews, as those bodies were shipped back, I believe, to Offutt or Moffitt or somewhere.
Okay. Judy, do you have anything else to add?
I wanted to ask, since this seems a laser-type beam, can it also be used to destruction?
For destruction?
Huh?
Yes, ma'am.
And so it could be aimed selectively at different targets?
It can. Not only can it be utilized as a blinding light, say, for instance, against an army, you already have sophisticated weaponry that does that. An oncoming army can be completely disabled and permanently blinded. It can be a confusion focus to a different frequency. It can be a confusion mechanism. You can pinpoint a pilot trying to land a plane. You can change its frequency, and you can completely shut down all electronics and electrical, as has just been experienced in at least three places on your planet this week. You can completely shut down every working part of an aircraft.
And so this is the nature of the weapon, which is placed right up on top of our mountain. We can see it from any part of the valley. It has perfect vision, shall we say, to any part of this valley. And so that is what's up there right now.
Well, that's what's up there right now. And because of this radio broadcast, because it's being monitored, they are really nervous. So we'll see what comes out about that in the next few days. Watch for it.
Oh, Commander Hutton, thank you very much, and thank you, Sam.
Thank you very much, Judy.
Thank you for calling.
And here we have Dwight. You're on K-Talk with Commander Hutton.
Thanks, Sam. Greetings, Commander.
Good Hutton. Afternoon.
I had a question for you. Over the past couple of years, especially the past 6 months in particular, I have noticed a change in the color of the sky.
And yes, sir.
Mostly evident in the early morning and especially in the late afternoon. And it seems to be a very high atmospheric condition, a gold, bronze-type color that I haven't ever noticed before now. And like I say, it does seem to be upper atmosphere because the clouds in front of it still look kind of bluish-purple. It's an effect I have never seen. Could you talk about that a little bit?
I would like to talk about that a little bit. Thank you for noticing. Ones are beginning to notice. It's very rare. There are some places... Oh, for instance, if you were into, if you were into the bottom of the Grand Canyon, or I believe in Utah, it might be Bryce and Zion, where you are looking up at the sky, you would still see probably crystal blue, but not all the time. Anyone who has traveled in those, what we call red rock areas, and look up at the sky, it is so intensely sky blue that it's almost shocking. Well, in the mountainous areas, you would usually be getting that. And to cover this phenomenon that is coming on that they don't want you to know it,